you love good music that stirs your soul, you've come to the right place. We call this place Respect. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. This is DJ Rick, bringing you just a little bit of my favorite soul, funk, and R&B music. I'm glad you can join me. This show is about a soul singer, songwriter, and guitarist who had an amazing career that spanned six decades. This episode of R-E-S-P-E-C-T is about the great Bobby Womack. The famous names associated with Bobby Womack include Sam Cooke, James Brown, The Rolling Stones, Wilson Pickett, Janis Joplin, Sly Stone, Patti LaBelle, Chaka Khan, Eric Clapton, Aretha Franklin, and the Wu-Tang Clan, to name a few. He played music in many styles, including gospel, soul, R&B, jazz, and even country. And he was a hitmaker for others, a hot session musician, and, for a time, an outcast. Bobby Womack was born into the Cleveland ghetto in 1944, a sickly child who nearly died several times in his first few years on this earth. His family was dirt poor. The five brothers slept in the same bed and often went hungry. At the age of eight, he snuck off with his daddy's guitar, even though his father had made it very clear that anyone who touched it would get a whipping. Since he had no one to teach him, he learned to play it left-handed and upside down, which is the way he played it throughout his career. He started out in his professional career as a young child in the gospel music circuit. He sang with his four brothers, Cecil, Curtis, Harry, and Friendly Womack, Jr. The Womack brothers had recorded a gospel song which hit the charts in 1954 when Bobby was only 10 years old. Soul pioneer Sam Cooke had started his own record label, and he signed the Womack brothers to his SAR Records. He quickly changed their name to the Valentinos and asked them to sing popular music, not gospel. When Bobby told his dad that he was going to stop singing gospel and was going to sing secular music like Sam Cooke, his father threw him out of the house forever. Bobby became a full-time musician at age 16. He worked with Sam Cooke's road band and contributed to almost all of Sam Cooke's hit records. But let's get started with the Valentinos' first hit. I'm looking for a love. I'm looking for a love. I'm gonna find.
Somebody to get up in the morning,
was Looking for a Love, written by Bobby Womack. Well, he wrote the lyrics, anyway, since the melody is almost an exact copy of an old gospel tune called Couldn't Hear Nobody Pray, which the Womack brothers had sung for years in churches. Bobby sang lead on the song and played guitar. He was only 18 years old. Sam Cooke arranged to have the Valentinos go out on tour supporting James Brown, and James Brown had no patience for less than top performance standards. So James Brown whipped Bobby and his brothers into top shape as performers as part of his James Brown Review. In 1964, Bobby was on tour with the Valentinos, and riding along in the tour bus was a shy guitarist named Jimmy James, who was in a band called the King Casuals. Bobby remembered that no one took him too seriously. He looked like a beatnik in his raggedy old clothes, a real oddball. Jimmy James later went to London and found fame as Jimi Hendrix. Next up, the Rolling Stones.
Well, baby used to stay out all night long. She made me cry. She done me wrong. She hurt my eyes open. That's no lie.
It's All Over Now, which was a number one hit on the pop charts for the Rolling Stones in July of 1964. But it was written by Bobby Womack, who recorded it 1 month earlier with the Valentinos in June of 1964. His manager, Sam Cooke, licensed the song to the Stones. Bobby told him that he didn't want the Stones to cut his song, but Bobby quickly changed his mind when he saw the huge royalty check from the record's success. It was more money than he'd ever seen before. He told Sam that the Stones could have any of his songs they wanted. So although he had some money and success by age 20, his life was about to get complicated. Sam Cooke had been Bobby's mentor, But Bobby also became close friends with Sam and his wife Barbara Cook. He was often a guest in their lovely home in the Los Feliz neighborhood, just north of Hollywood. But then, shockingly, Sam Cook was shot dead in an altercation with a woman. The incident took place in the middle of the night at a seedy hotel in East Los Angeles in December of 1964. There are many theories about how and why Sam Cook died, but that's a story for another episode of RESPECT. The reality of what happened next is the reason that Bobby became an outcast. In February of 1965, while the world was still grieving, just 3 months after his mentor Sam Cook was shot dead, Bobby married Sam Cook's widow, Barbara. Let's cue up I'm in Love with a tasty, delicate guitar line played by Bobby Womack. Just heard I'm in Love. Bobby wrote the song in 1965 to celebrate his marriage to Barbara Cook when he was 21 years old, but it was recorded and released by Wilson Pickett in 1967. A later version of I'm in Love by Aretha Franklin was a number one hit for her in 1974. All in all, Wilson Pickett recorded 17 of Bobby Womack's songs, including the smash hit I'm a Midnight Mover, which went to number four on the R&B chart. But the reason that such a sweet personal love song was not recorded by Bobby was that he couldn't get anyone to record him. Thought to be a relative nobody compared to superstar Sam Cooke, Bobby was thought to have disrespected his mentor by marrying Barbara so soon after his tragic death. It didn't help that Bobby was living large in Sam's house, driving Sam's car, wearing Sam's jewelry and shoes, and getting it on with Sam's widow. Bobby's own family disapproved, but Sam Cooke's brothers took it a step farther with threats of violence. They warned him never to show up in Chicago. Refusing to live under that threat, Bobby and Barbara went to Chicago, called up Charlie Cooke, Sam Cooke's brother. They told him what room they were staying in at the Roberts Hotel, and he said he would be right over to see him. While waiting for Sam Cooke's brothers, Barbara loaded her gun. But Bobby unloaded it without telling her when she was in the bathroom. When they got there, Sam's brothers, Charlie, David, and L.C. took turns beating on Bobby. Bobby did not fight back. They pistol-whipped him, breaking his jaw and sending his teeth through his lip. They beat him unconscious and kicked him all over, breaking bones. During the beating, Barbara grabbed her gun and pulled the trigger several times. It didn't fire. By unloading her gun, Bobby had kept her from killing Sam's brothers. The cops were called, but Bobby wouldn't press charges. And the retaliation against Bobby because of his marriage to Barbara was not over. Due to the backlash, the Valentinos could not be booked for any gig as long as Bobby was the lead singer, so he dropped out. He was banned from SAR Records, even though he was under contract. Other labels refused to let him record his own material. Nobody would hire him as a session musician. Disc jockeys destroyed his records on the air. Vicious hate mail and threats arrived daily. His career seemed to be over at age 21. Ray Charles, who had never met Bobby, had a different idea. He saw a great young guitar player who could be hired for his band Dirt Cheap and wasn't likely to leave to start his own career. So, from late 1965 until 1967, Bobby Womack was in Ray Charles' band, charting hits, including this one.
I don't need no doctor, 'cause I know what's ailing me.
That was I Don't Need No Doctor by Ray Charles from 1966. That song was written by Nick Ashford and Valerie Simpson, one of their very first recorded songs. Bobby played on 10 charting hits for Ray Charles, including Crying Time and Let's Go Get Stoned. Bizarre as it sounds, Bobby claims that Ray Charles piloted his own plane, and it made him nervous that a blind man was flying the plane. Depending on who is telling the story, Bobby either quit or Ray Charles fired him in 1967. He was out of work and broke again. But he heard that the famous producer, Chips Moman, was cutting some good soul music down in Memphis. He headed down south to American Studios in Memphis. He talked his way into the studio where he played guitar in the sessions that produced this gem.
Keep telling me that you loving you.
Of course, that was the Aretha Franklin singing and playing piano on her breakthrough hit, I Never Loved a Man the Way I Love You, from 1967. If you listen carefully, you can hear Bobby Womack's guitar work. Bobby also sat in to play on the studio session that produced such hits as Do Right Woman, Do Right Man, Chain of Fools, Since You've Been Gone, Ain't No Way, and Rock Steady for Aretha. One day, when producer Jerry Wexler was in the studio with Aretha, he asked Bobby if he would object to another guitarist sitting in, and Eric Clapton walked in and sat down to play, plugged into Bobby's amp. Bobby was amazed, using the strongest forms of cursing, certainly I can't say that on the air, to show how impressed he was with Clapton's playing. Bobby worked closely with Wilson Pickett, and he was also a session guitarist on hits by Joe Simon, Jackie Wilson, and King Curtis. Since American Sound Studios did not keep accurate notations of who played on what recordings, it is unclear how many final tracks Bobby played on as a session musician. But in 1 5-year period, 1967 to 1972, there were 122 records from American Sound Studios that made the charts. No other label, not Motown, not Stax, had more consistent success during that short a time frame. And he played guitar on the classic album Dusty in Memphis and its smash hit, Son of a Preacher Man. Check out the opening guitar line in the intro.
Billy Ray was a preacher's son, and when his daddy would visit, he'd come along. When they gathered around and started talking, Passing Billy would take me walking. Out through the backyard we go walking. Then he looked into my eyes. Lord knows to my surprise, the only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. Yes, he was. He was. Yes, he was. Talking to me, he come and tell me everything is alright. He kiss and tell me everything's alright. Can I get away again tonight? The only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. Yes, he was.
Preach!
That was Dusty Springfield's biggest hit, Son of a Preacher Man, from 1968. The album, Dusty in Memphis, sold poorly at first, but is now considered a classic album, one of the best albums of all time, and Bobby Womack's guitar is woven throughout the album. In his autobiography, Bobby claims to have played on Elvis Presley's comeback hits, Suspicious Minds and The Ghetto, both recorded in Memphis at American Sound Studios in 1969, but that is disputed by Elvis aficionados and acolytes. This is DJ Rick. You are listening to Respect, R-E-S-P-E-C-T, on the Voice of Vashon, 101.9 FM, KVSH LP, on Vashon Island, Washington, and streaming worldwide at voiceofvashon.org. On October 3rd, 1970, Bobby got a call from Janis Joplin. He didn't know her, just knew who she was. Janis asked him to bring her a song. He agreed to come by with some songs for her. When he got there, he played his song, Trust Me. She said yes, and asked him to stick around so she could record the song with his guitar licks. It was cut the next day, with his guitar line prominently featured. That evening, after the recording session, Bobby noticed that Janis was drinking her favorite booze, Southern Comfort, very heavily. She asked Bobby to give her a ride in his new Mercedes-Benz 600. He did, and while riding around, she started vocalizing a new song that started, Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? Quite drunk, she wanted to record it anyway, and they drove back to the studio, but the rest of her band had left for the evening. She insisted on recording it right away and did so. There's just Janis, a cappella, with Bobby tapping sketchy rhythms on the body of his acoustic guitar. No other musicians. It was just one take. At the end, she said, That's it, with a cackling laugh. That night, around midnight, the two of them went back to Janis's motel room. Bobby offered to share cocaine, but Janis was waiting for her dealer to arrive to deliver smack instead. When the dealer called, Janis asked Bobby to leave. As they kissed goodnight, Janis said, Bobby, I love you. 3 hours later, on October 4th, 1970, Bobby got a telephone call that Janis had OD'd on heroin. She was 27 years old. He was devastated at knowing that, other than her dealer, he was the last person to see her alive. Now let's enjoy the fantastic Janis Joplin's version of Bobby Womack's song, Trust Me.
Trust in me, baby. Give me time. I heard somebody say, the older the grape, sweeter the wine, sweeter the wine. A little more time. Takes the road runner just a little bit longer, dear. I wanna make up my mind. I gotta make up my mind. Oh, my love is like a sea, baby. Just needs time to grow. It's going stronger day by day. As it rises. Too much of your loving, baby. Yeah, I don't wanna mess your life around. So if you love me like you tell me that you do, dear, you should mind paying a price, any price, any price. Love is supposed to be the special kind of thing. Make anybody want to sacrifice. Surprise, we both get a pass.
That was Miss Janis Joplin singing Trust Me. Bobby Womack was the songwriter and is prominently featured on guitar. Janis' album Pearl was released posthumously. It was a huge success and went quadruple platinum, selling more than 4 million albums. Rolling Stone has ranked Pearl as 125th on its list of greatest albums of all time. Bobby Womack was hot in 1971 and by now is no longer being treated as a pariah. He started getting some radio play for his own records, but he continued to be in demand as a guitar for hire and soon was asked to contribute to a project by Sly Stone. You probably remember the next song.
Somebody that just loves to learn, and another child grows up to be somebody you just love to burn. Mom loves the both of them, you see it's in the blood. Both kids are good and mom, blood thicker than the mud. It's a family affair.
It's a family affair.
It's a family affair.
It's a family affair.
Oh, the bear. Oh, the bear. Still checking each other out. Hey, nobody wants to blow. Nobody wants to be left out. You can't leave cause your heart is there. But you can't stay cause you've been somewhere else. You can't cry cause you look broke down. But you're crying anyway cause you're all broke down. It's a family affair. Family affair. Oh, yeah, family affair.
Family affair. It's a family affair.
Ooh.
It's a family affair. It's a family.
Just heard Sly and the Family Stone with Family Affair, the first single released from the album There's a Riot Going On in 1971. Both Sly and Bobby Womack had been cocaine addicts for years. They became close friends and hung out in parties that lasted for days. Sly Stone's slurred vocal on Family Affair was because he'd been up for several days. On the cut, Bobby plays guitar, Billy Preston was on keyboards. Sly and his sister Rose Stone do the singing. The song Family Affair went to number one on the pop chart and stayed there for 3 weeks. The album There's a Riot Going On also went to number one on the albums chart. It was one of the first albums to use major overdubbing throughout and exclusively use a drum machine instead of actual drums. It regularly appears on lists of greatest albums and is considered one of the most influential of all time. This is DJ Rick. You are listening to Respect, R-E-S-P-E-C-T, on the Voice of Vashon, 101.9 FM, KVSHLP, on Vashon Island, Washington, and streaming worldwide at voiceofvashon.org. We're going back in to talk about Bobby Womack on the show of R-E-S-P-E-C-T. In 1972, Bobby went back into the studio to record his new album and produced a number one hit for himself.
Fellas, I wonder what you mind if I talk to you a minute. You know, sometimes we have our tendencies, or should I say we forget what a woman needs every now and then. That is, if you want to keep your thing together. Listen to me now. Do the things that keeps a smile on her face. Say the things that make her feel better every day. Man, you got to stay on your P's and Q's. If you don't, the woman you can easily lose. Oh, I had a love.
That was Woman's Gotta Have It from his 1972 album, Understanding. Woman's Gotta Have It went to number one on the R&B chart, Bobby Womack's first number one. He co-wrote the song with Linda Womack. Now, Linda Womack has had a complicated relationship with Bobby. Linda Womack was actually Linda Cook, as Sam Cook and Barbara Cook's daughter. When Bobby was married to Barbara Cook, Linda was his stepdaughter. But Linda was also one of Bobby's lovers when she was very young. Later, Linda became Bobby's sister-in-law when she married his brother, Cecil Womack. The success of Woman's Gotta Have It really launched Bobby's solo career, and afterwards he often used a lengthy spoken introduction to his songs. This style caused him to be called the preacher. However, in the 1970s, a new genre of movie was very popular, the so-called blaxploitation film. Melvin Van Peebles had started it off in 1971 with Sweet Sweetback's Badass Song. Then Isaac Hayes got an Oscar for his work on Shaft in 1971. Curtis Mayfield had his biggest hits from scoring the hit film Superfly. Marvin Gaye had a hit record for the lousy film Trouble Man in 1972. And Bobby Womack was next, asked to compose a movie soundtrack for the crime drama Across 110th Street.
I was the third brother of five, doing whatever I had to do to survive. I'm not saying what I did was all right. Trying to break out of the ghetto was a day-to-day fight. Being down so long, getting up didn't cross my mind. But I knew there was a better way of life, and I was just trying to find. You don't know what you do till you put under pressure. 110th Street is a hell of a tester. Across 110th Street, pimps try to catch a woman that's weak. Across 110th Street, pushers won't let the junkie go free. Across 110th Street, woman trying to catch a trick on the street.
That was the title track from the movie Across 110th Street, which is actually not a bad film, more like a realistic crime drama, and with much better direction and higher production values than most blaxploitation movies. The lyrics to 110th Street start out, "I was the third brother of five, doing whatever I had to do to survive." Bobby was in fact the third brother of five, and his personal experiences of life in the ghetto is reflected in his insightful music for the soundtrack. Over a period of just 2 weeks, he composed the soundtrack in his head while he was out on tour with nightly shows. He never learned to write or read music. But 25 years later, film director Quentin Tarantino liked the movie and music so much that he recycled much of it for his 1997 movie, Jackie Brown, featuring Pam Grier. And that was fitting because Pam Grier was one of Bobby Womack's ex-girlfriend. You can tell that Bobby Womack was pretty near everywhere in those days. Let's cue up one of my favorite songs written by Bobby Womack.
Oh, I could never, never, ever see myself turning your love away, okay. Even though I know that you belong to another man.
Oh, baby.
You know, when you look in my eyes,
yeah,
I'm gonna say these words.
Girl, you're welcome. Stop on by. You know I'll be here, baby, to dry your eyes, to dry your eyes. But I'm getting tired of being that second guy. Don't you be no fool, baby. You're about to lose your old standby. Listen, is it the material thing that is given? Can I truly say that you're happy living? True, I'm the one that's given. Ah, I'm trying to keep from hurting your feelings. Oh, stop on. Girl, you're welcome. Stop on, baby. Stop on, stop on. But one day, I might be the one to make you cry. Think about it, baby. Is it the material things that the man is giving? Yeah. Can you truly say that you're happy living? True love, I'm the one that's giving. Yes, man. I'm trying to keep a good feeling.
That was the original of You're Welcome, Stop On By, written and released by Bobby Womack in 1973. It was a moderate hit, but it was a major hit when it was recovered by Rufus featuring Chaka Khan 1 year later. I just played Chaka's cover version in episode 24 of RESPECT. In the 1970s, Bobby Womack released a total of 12 full-length albums. Most of the albums had some good singles on them that charted, but overall his sales fell with each successive album between 1972 and 79. Part of that decline can be blamed on the increasing popularity of disco music in the late 70s, which mostly killed off classic soul music. Part of it can be blamed on depression due to the murder of his brother Harry in 1974. Part of it can be blamed on his deep depression after the sudden death of his infant son, Bobby Truth, in 1978. But a lot of it can be blamed on his increasing cocaine addiction. He was using a ton of coke. He seemingly had lost his way. He was so frustrated that he even recorded a country album in 1976. He changed record labels several times, from United Artists to Columbia, and then to Arista, and then to Beverly Glenn. Nothing was happening on the charts for him. But by 1985, he had another great track.
Thank you. I'm the best friend he's got. I'd give him the shirt off my back. He knows he can trust me with his life. But each time he leaves me alone, leaves me alone with his wife. I wish he didn't trust me so much. I think he really trusts me too much. How can he be so blind? We both got the same good taste. He should know when he's gone, gone on his business trip. Can't help watching this woman without losing my grip. I wish he didn't trust me so much. I think he really trusts me too much. Oh, I swear, oh, it's not my will. But there's a way she make me feel. Lord, I'm scared, so scared of what I do. If she starts feeling the same way too. We got a problem.
I think you really trust me too.
It's not that she leads me on. I'm getting there all by myself. But just being with her all along, I can't help but hoping that he never comes home. I wish he didn't trust me so much. I think he really trusts me too much. Got a problem. I think you really trust me too much. Though I swear, oh, it's not my will. But it's something about the way she makes me feel. Lord, I'm so scared, scared of what I do. If she starts feeling the same way too.
That was I Wish You Didn't Trust Me So Much from 1985. It was from an album called So Many Rivers. The song went to number 2 on the R&B chart. It was his last hit. But it was far from his last recording, since Bobby was still in demand as a session musician and as a guest vocalist. For example, he was recruited by the Rolling Stones to help with their album Dirty Work in 1986, where he played and sang on Harlem Shuffle. He also sang on tracks for Wilton Felder of the Crusaders and the modern band Gorillaz and with the Wu-Tang Clan. During his career as a recording artist, he released 47 singles, 28 studio albums, 3 live albums, and 9 compilation albums. He wrote hundreds of songs and played guitar on many hundreds more. His songs have been covered by hundreds of other artists. Recognizing the body of his work, Bobby was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame August 4th, 2009, by his friend, Rolling Stone Ronnie Wood. In 2014, toward the end of his life, he was working on a new album titled The Best Is Yet to Come, and he had enlisted collaborators such as Stevie Wonder, Rod Stewart, Tina Marie, Ronald Isley, and Snoop Dogg. He planned to start out on tour again in the summer. Although he was very ill with diabetes, 2 kinds of cancer, and Alzheimer's disease, Bobby Womack sang at the Bon Roo Festival in 2014. He gave a great performance. He didn't want to get off stage, and he kept singing long after his allotted time. He gave extended credits to his mentors, fellow musicians, and fans for a great career. Bobby Womack died on June 27, 2014, just 2 weeks after his appearance at Bonnaroo. He was 70 years old. His Hall of Fame biography quotes Bobby as saying, "The whole thing is to make music feel real. It's important you have a story, a good hook line. It's always going to go back to that." Let's go out with the soulful poetry of Please Forgive My Heart from his album, The Bravest Man in the Universe. The album was considered by many to be one of the best albums of 2012.
I could try to say I'm sorry, but that won't be quite enough to let you know pain that I feel, and it just won't let up. Oh, it feels like the sky is falling and the clouds
thank you.
The Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin, said in 1968 that soul doesn't need to be defined because it's a feeling. This is DJ Rick, and you have been listening to Respect, R-E-S-P-E-C-T, on KVSH-FM. Thanks for listening.
Find out what it means to me.